Should the federal government keep the extra unemployment money coming or do bonuses for people who can start working again? I'm David Brancaccio. The federal government has been supplementing state unemployment benefits during the pandemic by $600 a week at a time that more than 20 million people are jobless. But the White House is worried this makes not working too attractive. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins me here. What did Trump economic advisor Larry Kudlow say this weekend?
He said the administration is considering whether to provide a bonus payment to people who go back to work. Congress is debating right now about whether to extend the $600 a week benefit. Democrats want to keep providing the money until January, but here's what Kudlow said on CNN.
We're paying people not to work. It's better than their salaries would get. And that might have worked for the first couple of months. It'll end in late July. We are in the administration, the president is looking at a reform measure that will still provide some kind of bonus for returning to work.
Now, Nova, is this a supposition or is there evidence people are blowing off jobs because of the extra unemployment money?
Well, it's anecdotal. Kudlow says he's heard from business leaders who are saying that they're seeing this phenomenon play out now as things reopen. The Congressional Budget Office did look at the question. It's previously said that low-wage workers have borne the brunt of job losses, and looking at how extending the $600 benefit would impact them, the CBO projected that, yes, fewer people will return to work because they'll be making more money if they stay home, at least in the short term. But it also concluded that extending the benefits would boost demand for goods and services, which in turn, David, would help the economy.
All right. Nova, thank you. With a new outbreak of coronavirus centered on a huge food market in Beijing and cases on the rise in U.S. states from Washington to Arizona to South Carolina, stock prices are pointed down. The Dow future is down 550 points, 2.1%. London's 100 share index is down more than 1%. North Carolina businessman Louis DeJoy is set to take over as the new head of the U.S. Postal Service today. A lot going on there. A huge workforce dealing with COVID, less mail during COVID, all the voting by mail that'll happen in this election year. And the Postal Service was $11 billion in the hole last year. Here's Marketplace's Kristen Schwab.
USPS has a few challenges. One of the biggest? Online shopping, which requires the Postal Service to deliver almost anything of almost any size to almost anyone. Satish Jindal is president of ShipMatrix. He says the Postal Service loses a lot of money delivering big parcels.
Yes, anything over 10 pounds, they should forget it.
He says USPS should focus on its monopoly, the mailbox. But Richard John, a history professor at Columbia University who wrote a book about the Postal Service, says that would leave residents and business owners in rural areas behind.
If the post office did not exist in these small towns, Federal Express and UPS would be within their rights to raise rates.
USPS is required to keep prices uniform throughout the country, regardless of cost. That's one of the reasons it was created, to give people equal access to communication and the news.
I call it a civic foundation. I mean, it's infrastructure. It's like water.
And it'll have even more involvement in civics this November as more states consider mail-in ballots to help people vote in a pandemic. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Let's update a pandemic story about people in abusive relationships who've been stuck at home either under COVID shelter-in-place rules or with skyrocketing unemployment. This at a time that nonprofits have less money to help. Elisa Roth, who covers mental health for our parent company, American Public Media, reports from Minnesota.
Domestic violence hotlines, like the one Mary Beth Becker works for, are still open. She answers the phone at Women's Advocates, which is a shelter in St. Paul, Minnesota, that's also still open.
Women's Advocates, how can I help you?
She's changed what she tells callers about staying safe.
Well,
she used to talk them through things like orders of protection and escape plans. Now, it's about protecting themselves at home.
If physical violence is going to happen, make sure that you are as small as possible. Make sure that you're away from areas that have weapons or knives or anything like that.
For people who are leaving an abusive partner, though, or who have already left, the virus adds to what's already a stressful situation. More people have been calling the LifeWire shelter in Bellevue, Washington, worried about money.
A lot of what we're seeing is just really increased needs.
Mackenzie Visser helps with housing there. She says a lot of people who are looking for help have been laid off or can't work because childcare has been shut down, which leaves people feeling like their only choices are to go back to an abusive partner or end up homeless. She tries to figure out who she has to help and who can get help elsewhere.
Can the survivor receive unemployment? Are they eligible for a stimulus check? Are they undocumented and will they have a lot of barriers to accessing other community resources? Is there a language barrier?
Advocates and police departments assume there's been more domestic violence since people are stuck at home, though there's no way to track the numbers comprehensively. Some shelters report fewer calls, while a lot of state hotlines and police departments are getting more calls. People who are in shelters need to find ways to socially distance in places where people share dining rooms, playgrounds, bathrooms, and sometimes bedrooms. Estelle Brower is the executive director of the shelter I talked to in Minnesota. To give people space, she moved half the residents to a local hotel.
Hotels are hurting right now, too, and they're not full.
Even at a discounted rate, though, the cost of the rooms adds up. So does protective gear and hazard pay for shelter employees. The organization's costs are up $50,000 a month, 20%, since the middle of March. It's already expecting serious budget shortfalls for next year. In the Twin Cities, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.